message about.
And, you know, and in some ways that's a little bit of an excuse for them. But you look at people like Lindsay Lohan and Chris Brown.
Whoa. We're having a pretty big earthquake
wow.
right now.
You just feel that?
Yes,
oh,
we did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
We're still feeling it.
And we're on the air, so we appreciate the use of that word.
Holy
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Que ven en Bing, me llamo el Dototito que ven en Bing. Quiere decirles que el ojo que tengo bien hecho me da que ver en Bing. Mira, Tijuana, componero que ven en Bing. Quiere agarrarme también una puta ya que ven en Bing en Tijuana para tener. Hola, papá, que ven en Bing.
What the hell?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Oh, say does that banner rock in red blare for the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Play ball.
This is horrible. I want to go out and puke right now.
Get boarded!
There's no turning back, no matter how much we wish we could.
And now.
All right, now the moment you've all been waiting for. Lights! Music!
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, remember that time when Kevin was honking at a funeral procession because he thought the cars were driving too slowly?
No.
Remember that time when Bean got stuck inside the truck so half of his body was hanging out? Remember that time when Tad was in his underwear and he hated it because he's fat and he's in his underwear? Remember that time when Jimmy ate the year-old piece of meat because he tacked it up onto the board
yep.
that he would? Remember that time when Lightning had to clean out the Winnebago or whatever the hell it was that you guys took to Vegas, Kevin's bachelor party? Remember that time when Lisa May made out with Tammy Heidi? Good times on the Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah.
Wow, she's our historian.
No kidding. I don't remember all that stuff until she brought it back up.
I know, that's amazing. God, we're idiots.
We really are.
Wow.
All right. Listen, we got a brand new Kevin and Bean show today. It is Tuesday, the 18th of March. On the program today, we have Adam Carolla, who will be here with This Week in Rage. You can always find stuff to complain about. It's fascinating to me.
His poor wife.
You met your heroes. We'll take your calls on today's Kevin and Bean show. I don't know if you watch The Goldbergs.
I have seen The Goldbergs.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
Yep.
And it didn't look like when I first saw the promo for it, I thought, well, it's just
another sitcom.
Yeah, another sitcom. But it actually is a little better than that.
I agree.
And we have Wendy McClendon Covey in the studio to talk about that show. We have tickets for our secret Coldplay show. That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And we're going to get an update on the Malaysian Airlines story as it changes daily. Every day it seems like they come up with the answer. Well, you know what it was then? It was the pilots. And then they come out the next day and go, not the pilots.
Yeah.
Must have been terrorists. Then they come out the next day and go, not the terrorists. I don't think they have any idea.
I think you're right.
But we're going to
fascinating.
We're going to get an expert on the air to talk about that and to kind of fill us in on all of the different things that have been said and what they know, which is, I believe, zero. I believe they know absolutely nothing and probably won't until they find the plane.
If they find the plane.
So that's going to happen. And then we're going to talk, and this is weird. This is a sentence I never thought I'd say, but we're going to talk baseball with Larry King.
I don't get the connection.
Larry King is a huge Dodger fan.
Oh.
And goes to every single game.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He's now hosting a talk show on Sportsnet called Larry King at Bat. And he's going to be, I don't know, discussing the games and what happened and having guests on. I don't know. I don't understand it exactly.
Okay.
But Larry King is 99? 101?
Something there.
He's been broadcasting. He used to do radio like an overnight shift. He did that for, I don't know, like 30 years. Then he went to CNN and started doing that show for another 20 or 30 years. At the end of which, he started just becoming completely loopy. He was just gone.
Who are you? Why are you here?
What's happening? I don't understand my own show. He's terrific. So we're going to talk to Larry about his talk show about the Dodgers as the baseball season just is about to get underway.
Okay.
We'll get to all that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. On the program today, we are going to talk to Larry King about baseball. So, Ralph, if you're interested in that, you can feel free to sit in.
I would love to, but I got that thing.
It's Larry King. He's a big Dodger fan.
But they asked me to revamp the server transcommunicators over in the...
You do that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm a big computer guy, so I got to go down there and microspool the...
What time do you have to do that?
Microspool something?
I have to microspool the anti... coagulantators, so...
Those aren't things.
Yeah, and sure they are.
What time do you have to do that?
How do you know about computers?
What time do you have to do that?
At 8:08.
Nice. Good catch.
Thank you.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs and TV shows on DVD available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what's new in new releases. Supermodel by Foster the People. Finally, their new CD drops today. We had the guys in last week. Very entertaining. Very nice guys. Sounded good.
Yep.
Recess by Skrillex. Going to Hell. Deluxe edition by The Pretty Reckless. The Muppets Most Wanted soundtrack featuring Kermit and Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett, Josh Groban, Tina Fey. You know, your usual singers. Symphonica by George Michael. A new CD from George Michael. How did he put down the pot long enough to record something?
Wow.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is actually a live recording of him doing many of his greatest hits with a symphony orchestra.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kiss Me Once by Kylie Minogue. Sex and Love by Enrique Iglesias. Sounds like they should get together. Kiss Me Once and Sex and Love. And Happiness Is by Taking Back Sunday. New on DVD, Frozen from Disney will make $19 billion today when it's released on DVD.
Yeah, it's probably not far off.
Speaking of Disney, Saving Mr. Banks, a movie that I loved. Emma Thompson, Tom Hanks, and Paul Giamatti star. American Hustle is available. Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper,
good.
Of course. Oscar bait right there. Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom with Idris Elba. And TV shows on DVD. Flashpoint, the final season. Sorry, Kevin. Flashpoint.
Yeah!
What's Flashpoint?
In its final season, I have no idea.
Flashpoint?
It was one of those shows you watch. Wasn't it one of those, sounds like it. Isn't that one of those counterterrorism shows from Canada that you watch, people shooting each other or something?
That's my type of show, but yeah. I don't know Flashpoint.
And Devious Maids, finally, on season one.
Devious Maids. All right.
Check that out. Woo! Chris Brown will stay behind bars.
Strong. Really?
Until his probation violation hearing on April the 23rd.
Wow.
Chris going to do a little time. Variety says that Chris spent the weekend, of course, in Los Angeles after a judge had him arrested for violating his court-ordered treatment. He was supposed to be in anger management rehab, substance abuse, and bipolar disorder treatment, but he got booted out of the treatment center. That's why he had to show up in jail, in court yesterday. Now we know what happened in that rehab that got him kicked out.
We hadn't heard previously.
Yes. He broke multiple rules, according to court documents, refusing a drug test while inside.
While inside a rehab?
Yeah. One of the...
Seems like that's, you know, point one.
Right up there.
That's right there where you start.
Touching a female.
Oh.
And saying in a group session that he was good with guns and knives. A comment that apparently was perceived as a threat by the person he was making it to. I'm good at using guns and knives, he said to someone in therapy.
Man, that guy is effed up.
My favorite part, Chris Brown's attorney says, hey, he should be allowed to express himself freely in group therapy. Hey, if he wants to threaten somebody with guns and knives, that's what he's there for.
It's therapy. He's just sharing.
Yeah. So he's going to be in jail at least until April 23rd when that probation violation hearing takes place. And he's also scheduled to stand trial in Washington, D.C. on April the 17th after refusing a plea deal in his alleged assault of that guy who tried to photobomb a picture he was taking. So I don't know whether the L.A. courts will allow him to leave to go to Washington, D.C. to appear in his D.C. court appearance because he'll still be in jail when that's taking place.
Full month in jail.
Yeah. Got a lot going on. He's got a busy schedule.
He does.
Sure does.
Yeah.
He is doing the stand in front of a judge tour, what they're calling it this year.
The Lindsay tour is formerly known.
That's right. Back in the old days. Today's celebrity birthdays, TV show host Mike Rowe. How great's Mike Rowe?
He's the best.
He's wonderful.
And he's got that voice. I'm Mike Rowe. Hey, your Ford dealers, you have tires. I like jeeps.
By the way, we have a lot of
whatever he sells, man.
We have a decent amount of good-looking guys that come in here as
Thank
as
you, Kevin,
guests.
I appreciate that.
And Lisa, I believe, has him right at the top.
Oh, my God. He's got everything.
He's a manly man.
He is a manly man.
He's a real man.
Every time he leaves, she's like, oh, I'm so sad. I miss him.
Singer and actress Vanessa Williams turns 51 today. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 48. Queen Latifah. All hail. Queen Latifah.
Right.
44 years old today. Comedian Dane Cook is 42. Adam Levine of Maroon 5. Wow. Everybody, you guys love.
We're going to have to track down some clips.
Bean loves Queen Latifah. You love Maroon 5. You're always asking us to give them love. He's 35 years old today. Darren Taylor of Airborne Toxic Event is 34. Leaky Lee is 28. And Lily Collins celebrates her 25th birthday. Where's the damn bell? Where's the damn bell? Love me some Lily Collins. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour, before 7 o'clock in the morning, we have your tickets for the Secret Coldplay show.
Oh, people want to go so bad.
Yes, they do. So keep listening for your chance to win that. We'll give you a chance probably within about a half an hour.
Okay.
First, let's talk about Massachusetts. I don't know if you've been following this story at all, but Michael Robertson is the name of a guy in Massachusetts who was getting on the subway and taking upskirt photos and videos.
Gross.
Yeah. And he was arrested for it.
Good.
Under the Peeping Tom law.
Yeah.
And then it went up from court to court to court, finally ended up going up to the Supreme Court in Massachusetts, who said their ruling was that because the girl was wearing underwear, the Peeping Tom law does not apply.
You're kidding.
So it's all right if people do that because this law doesn't cover it.
So if
troubling, right?
If someone was peeking in the window, but I wasn't naked, just in my underwear, it'd be okay.
I don't know if there's
a
public private,
just a very specific
place.
Well,
but
I am only ever wearing pants.
Yeah, I mean that seems like
are
that's
you
a,
kidding? That
no,
is
I'm not.
BS.
The Supreme Court ruled that that law does not cover it. So now they've moved to to make some changes. But we wanted to talk to somebody who's familiar with the story. And we have Alan McCarthy, who's a representative of the Supreme Court of Massachusetts, on the phone now. Hi, Alan.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Very good. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I just think it's important for your listeners to know and for you that the, to update your story, the law has been signed by Governor Patrick that does ban the practice known as upskirting here in the state of Massachusetts.
So that was the quick response, which is after the Supreme Court ruled that it was, not illegal, then they went ahead and put a law in saying you can't do that.
Thank God.
Well, what the problem was, and the reason I'm happy to talk here today on behalf of the Supreme Court of Massachusetts is that the members of the Supreme Court were simply upholding the law as it was written.
Right.
And so that was the problem. People seemed to believe that the justices were somehow condoning this practice of upskirting, which we all find a disgusting and reprehensible activity.
Okay.
But they had no choice given how the law was written in the state of Massachusetts. Their job is to simply uphold that law.
Sure.
So their hands were tied in this particular case.
Absolutely. And they appealed to legislators and lawmakers to change the law, make it close that loophole.
I see.
So that upskirting would, in fact, be illegal. And now they have done that, and Governor Patrick has signed that bill. So, ladies, feel free to walk around in Massachusetts wearing your skirts and dresses with your underwear. You're safe.
That's great news. I'm glad to hear it.
Sorry, madam. I dropped my phone. I just dropped it.
What?
What was that?
That sounded like
sounded like a picture.
No, yeah. I just dropped my phone.
Didn't? Okay.
This young lady was walking by, and I just happened to drop my phone because phones are, of course, slippery.
How slippery is that?
Very. They're very sleek these days, these phones. They're
right.
They're very small and sleek. And,
right.
Excuse me. Sorry. What? Slippery phone.
Wait
you
a
didn't
minute.
Drop
Tell
your phone.
Wanna.
You didn't drop your
you
phone.
You don't know what I didn't do.
You just dropped your phone twice.
I dropped it. I have fumbly fingers.
And it accidentally took a picture?
That's right.
Which way was the face?
Nice undies.
Are you really a representative of the Supreme Court of Massachusetts?
I am.
Okay.
And I'm also very, very, very slippery. as well.
What? Where's that slipperiness coming from?
I believe it's from the lubricant that I have.
Oh, Kevin, you didn't have to ask.
Well, I mean, I wanted to know. Maybe it's raining. I don't know.
No, yeah, I'm all lubed up.
You're all lubed up.
And I keep dropping my phone.
And it keeps taking pictures.
And as long as she's wearing panties, I mean, come on. It's all fair, right?
No, nobody believes that.
Did you just pass a law that it wasn't?
I know. This new law is BS.
Coming up next, we have tickets for the secret Coldplay show. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. If you want to call now, you can. 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to wait on hold for a little bit, but then we're going to play a game. You need to be able to recognize lyrics from Coldplay.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking for. Right now, it's time for the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO. A lot of times, we don't get enough information, and when people leave a message, we just have to guess. I'm guessing that this one is for me.
God damn, you're dumb.
It's a good guess.
It's just a stab in the dark, but I'm guessing that's what it is. TMI?
I really gotta poop.
Yeah, we don't.
If that's the case, why don't you just go ahead and go handle that. You go handle your biz. A very, very good Petros Papadakis impression.
Hey, guys, it's me, Petros. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, yeah, football. Trojans, football. Bachelor.
Pretty well done. TMI.
My butt itches. I don't know why. I took a shower. What's up, Lisa May?
Does that work, Lisa?
Not really.
No. Lisa has had problems clearing her throat lately.
I have.
She's got a lot in there.
Well, I figured out what it was, but you go ahead.
Hey, Lisa May, I just heard you... I just heard you doing the traffic. sometimes when you're talking, I just, I kind of lose you because
sometimes. That's not an exaggeration either.
You found out what it was?
I can't use coconut oil to cook in. It totally screws me up.
You're allergic to it?
I am. Who knew?
Huh. Who knew?
I think
when are we going to play Lisa Wilkie? Shut up, what I'm talking to you.
That's not a bad idea,
it's
Lisa Wilkie.
It's a terrible idea.
It's not a bad idea.
It's the worst I've ever heard.
But we're using Omar now. How's this worse? That's terrible, too. This guy is very upset, and I think that perhaps he's too upset for the topic.
Hello, what's your
name? Sorry, that's the wrong one. This is a very, very great recording artist named the Armenian Comedian.
Hello, what's your name? I've been watching you.
Wow.
Quite a performance, right? Quite a performance. This is the guy that has... Maybe his anger's a little bit out of line.
Hey, I was just wondering if you guys are going to be taping more shows with all those VHS tapes you have lying around. Stop saying taping! You don't tape shows anymore! Nobody does!
That's a generic term. You record. All right, fine. Because it's a DVR. I got it.
Thanks, Bean.
Yeah, thank you for that. We appreciate that. But they also call them albums, and they're not albums anymore.
That's true.
Stuff gets outdated. This is a person who loves the Omaroki and Bean singing, and now, of course, the new Lisa singing. He's very excited.
Holy effing crap, Kevin and Bean. Can we just have Omar and Bean make duets for the rest of their lives and sell it on the internet? Oh, my God. Omaroki. Holy crap.
Yeah. Omar loves his performances on that.
He thinks he's amazing.
Just let go. Let go. I'm drunk and on the radio. Let go. Let go.
I don't know who that's for. I'll just have to guess, I guess.
Hey, Kevin. What's the movie where the guy is the godfather and she has a wooden hand, but he's trying to win a golf tournament? I think Pierce Brosnan is in it. You know, they have that weekend at Bernie's with the dead uncle and the other black guy.
Like, I'm not confused enough.
Dear Mug, can you spell dumbass?
See, we did a spelling thing with Fear Mug, who was his sixth grade spelling champ, and there's not a day goes by he doesn't remind us of that.
Yeah.
That he was the champ in sixth grade.
Dear Mug, you.
you. You.
Wow, it's like he just ran out. He was so exhausted by it all.
Muggs, you remember yesterday in the office when we were talking about, you know, wanting to play the song that you recorded that I find very funny? I think we're underusing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that? And you remember the conversation that was had?
I remember.
Remember where I said something to the effect of, hey, Muggs, why don't you call the Afro line and request it?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And maybe even say that it's not Beer Mug, right? So then it would be funny, and then we could play the song.
Yeah.
And you said, done.
Yeah, I got sidetracked.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Beer Mug was supposed to call the Afro line, but that fat, lazy forgot. So yesterday we were in the office meeting. We're actually giving Beer Mug props for his Fatty Fat Fat song. And we told him, hey, Beer Mug, it would be nice of you to call the Afro line so we could play that after the Afro calls. But that fat didn't call. So this is Omar requesting you to play that song because Beer Mug's fat. So, so fat. So fat.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. But here, 323-520-AFRO is the number.
So, I've been trying to diet right. I've been failing every night. So, I've been drinking beer instead. Fat. I've been eating in my bed. So, eating in my bed. Fat. Mm. So,
oh, yeah. Oh.
Fat. All my meals are soaked in grease. So, that will block my arteries. Fat. Pork rinds are what I want. Deep fried butter to make me strong. Fat. Then I'll hit the bone. So. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. So. Are you gonna finish that? Fat. Are those hash browns fried in fat? So. Thick bacon's all I need. Fat. A quarter pounder wrapped in cheese.
Extra mayo
is what I please.
Fat.
Could you put the chili cheese fries on the bun?
So.
It's gonna give me heart disease.
Fat.
Fantastic.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
That's so good.
I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
Can I get that with three sides of mac and cheese, please?
And soon I'll be 900 pounds. I belong.
Oh no! Oh no! I think I'm having a heart attack. Quick! Somebody get the defibrillator! Clear!
Secret show, Coldplay tickets. Coming up later this morning, we are going to get an update on Malaysian Airlines and what's going on with that, because there's a lot of hard, fast answers coming now, huh?
Courtney Love thinks she has the answer.
She does?
Yeah, really? I'll be talking about that in the next show, Biz. She's figured it all out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she's got it.
Why didn't we go to her first?
Well, I don't know. In retrospect, it should have been a simple decision.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah.
It's time to give away some Coldplay tickets. We have a secret show. We have everybody on hold. Here's what we're going to do. We have the Wheel of Celebrities, and then the celebrities are going to read lyrics from Coldplay songs, and you have to identify them.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Are we still happy with that intro?
Well, hell yeah.
Okay, just checking. Let's start with Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Are you ready for the Wheel of Celebrities?
I am ready.
All right, here we go. Spinning the wheel. Pat O'Brien will be.
Pat, you're up.
Pat O'Brien will be reading
the
lyrics.
All the celebrities in the other room.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. They're in the holding room.
Gavin and Bean, how are you guys?
Very good. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
We'll have to agree to disagree on that.
On what? We just said we're fine.
All right, here are your lyrics. Listen up. The lights go out, and I can't be saved. Tides that I tried to swim against have brought me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and plead, singing, by the way.
It's not. By the way, it's not in that song.
Can't help myself.
Laura?
It's Clocks.
It is Clocks. Nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you. You hold on. We're going to move on to our next contestant, who is Freddie. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Time for the Wheel of Celebrities.
Wheel of
of celebrities.
Live version of the theme. Al Pacino. Wow. Al is next.
Oh.
Al's going to give you some lyrics.
Oh,
you tell
good
us
to be here.
What Coldplay song is.
At my age, it's good to be anywhere. Ooh-ah! Ba-dum-bum! All right.
Here's your song.
Your skin. Oh, yeah! Your skin and bones turn into something beautiful. You know! You know! I love you so! You know! I love you so.
All right, Freddie? Pretty big hit.
Let's see.
Pretty big hit. Song by Coldplay.
Song by Coldplay.
Yes. Oh, are they cold?
Al, you a fan of Coldplay?
Ah. No.
We're going to need a guess here, Freddie.
Just try picking a song by Coldplay. Just one of their biggest hits. Just yell it out.
Nope, it's Yellow. Thank you for calling, Al.
Not a big fan, I don't think.
I don't know really how long we're supposed to wait. Corey, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hi.
Did you know that last one?
Was that Fix You?
No, it was Yellow.
Yellow, we said it. In fact.
Oh, Yellow.
We announced what it was.
We did say it and then play a little clip.
Corey, we love you, but we're concerned for you.
Here we go, spinning the wheel of celebrities. And the person reading your lyrics will be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah,
very nice.
Yes. Coldplay, loved him.
You love them. Ah, okay, good. Al didn't care for him so much.
Nah.
All right, Corey, good luck.
I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing. Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and shield. My missionaries in a foreign field.
That's Viva La Vida.
That is Viva La Vida. Nice.
Yeah, that's right, Viva La Vida.
You're not laughing at Arnold, are you, Corey?
No.
No, make sure to buy tickets for my new film, Sabotage, comes out soon.
Okay, we don't need a plug necessarily.
But that's why I came here, to promote Sabotage.
Let's go to Javier. Hi there, Javier.
What's up, party people?
Doing the Wheel of Celebrities for the Secret Coldplay Show. Let's see what celebrity... Oh, look, here's a new one, Party Bus Kevin.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Party Bus Kevin is going to read
so
your lyrics.
So good to be here.
Oh, man.
So good to be here, Microphone Kevin.
This is Javier.
Oh, no, I see. A spider web is tangled up with me, and I lost my head of all the stupid things I said. This is part of us.
Javier?
Yeah. Trouble.
Trouble is correct.
Oh.
Wow.
See, I do good. Everybody knows what I'm good. When I talk good, it's, no, just let it go.
Okay, let's go to Andrew. Hi there.
Hey, Kevin, Ralph, Lisa.
Hello.
Welcome to the Wheel of Celebrities.
Wheel of Celebrities.
Your celebrity is Christopher Walken. Congratulations.
My goodness. I'm shocked. Shocked.
It hasn't landed on you in a while.
No, it's been a while. I'm in another room waiting. Glad to be here. Maybe I'm in the black. Maybe I'm on my knees. Maybe I'm in the gap between two trapezes. But my heart is beating and my pulses start cathedrals in my heart.
Sorry about that, be Andrew.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
Throw it.
Every teardrop is a waterfall.
You are a lucky
good
bastard.
Throw. Good throw.
Did you think he Googled it? You think that's what happened right there?
I didn't hear any typing.
I didn't either.
He was just fishing. He pulled in a whale.
It was a lucky stab. Let's go to Ricardo. Hi there, Ricardo.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome to the Wheel of Celebrities. We're going to spin it. You have to tell us what Coldplay song this is, and Homer Simpson will be reading your lyrics.
Oh.
Homer Simpson.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, take me back to the start.
That'll be the scientist.
That would be the scientist. Nobody
said it.
Nicely Woo-hoo! Done. All right, we have how many people? We have five people
five
in the drawing,
in the
right?
Drawing, yeah.
Let's see who wins the tickets to the Secret
Lisa
Coldplay
is
show.
Reaching her hand into the hopper.
That's not a hopper.
And the winner is Ricardo.
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 All right.
Congratulations.
Oh, great.
What were those noises?
He was excited.
Wow.
I'm excited. I am excited.
Oh, my goodness.
Hand check.
I'm half awake.
Hand check and clothes change, I think, is in order. But thank you for playing.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Couldn't help but notice there during the traffic that Lisa still has something in her throat.
She's got some coconut oil in her throat. You know how it is when that white, viscous coconut oil gets in your throat? Makes things very choky.
Yes, very choky.
Very choky. Coconut oil.
Time for another check of the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
As I mentioned minutes ago, finally, a person with some expertise, a person who's reasonable, logical, has weighed in on the missing Malaysian airliner. Courtney Love is offering up her opinion.
Oh, great. I've been waiting to hear from her.
Yes, we all have. She sent out a tweet early Monday morning with a link to a satellite image from a site called Tomnod with a section of ocean. And the tweet said, "I'm no expert, but up close, this looks like a plane and an oil slick." Based on the lackluster response, Courtney's findings haven't convinced many people. So she tweeted out another picture with more evidence in the form of red arrows pointing to what she was talking about. And the scrawled words oil and plane on the other arrow.
She can't imagine why people aren't taking her seriously.
Look, oil and plane. It's so obvious. Let's just go there. So no word yet on whether Courtney's new evidence has helped.
Wouldn't it be awesome if Courtney Love found the plane?
Investigators find the plane
after a week and a half.
But she's helping. She also added that her prayers go out to the families, which I think shows that her heart's in the right place. I'm not an expert.
Really?
But this looks like oil on a plane to me. It's funny because we thought you were. We thought you had. Didn't you get a degree in aviation engineering?
I figured they went to her first. Apparently not.
This is sad and shocking news. Mick Jagger's girlfriend, celebrity celebrity stylist and fashion designer Loren Scott, found dead in her Manhattan apartment yesterday, reportedly of a suicide.
Yeah.
49-year-old designer was found after she allegedly hanged herself with a scarf on a doorknob.
God, how do you even do that?
I'm thinking. I mean,
how high is the doorknob?
I have no idea. That's what the story says here. I was kind of baffled by that as well. She texted her assistant shortly before her body was discovered saying, "Come over." And when the assistant got there, she found the body and called the police. Reportedly, her business had been suffering. She just had to cancel a fashion show.
Right.
And her fashion business had crashed, and depression got the better of her, and she took her own life. I can never understand that. I mean, to kill yourself over money in the first place is just crazy. But if you're Mick Jagger's girlfriend,
yeah,
it's not like you're not going to be able to pay the rent or you're going to starve if you lose your job.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, obviously, it's a bummer. She had been on the top when it came to celebrity designing and style. But she could probably get there again, or if worst case scenario, she didn't. I don't think
she'd still be all right.
Obviously, there was maybe something else going on there. Yeah. But Mick Jagger's currently on tour in Australia when he got the news yesterday, and as you can imagine, completely shocked and devastated, the spokesman says. So, sad news. But how about some good news? Chris Brown is going to be in jail for a while longer.
Sweet.
He will stay behind bars until his probation violation hearing on April the 23rd. Here's how he violated. The judge sent him to court-ordered treatment for anger management, substance abuse, and his bipolar disorder. But the judge said to him, if you get bounced out of that treatment center, you're going right to jail. No questions asked. Well, he was bounced out on Friday. Now we know why. According to court records, he refused a drug test. He was found touching a female. It doesn't say here whether it was a staff member or a patient, but regardless, he was touching a female.
Yeah, they're pretty strict rules in rehab.
And in a group session, he said to another patient, he was good at using guns and knives, and that comment was perceived as a threat to that person.
You have your head up your ass.
Chris's attorney says Brown hadn't refused the test at all. In fact, he had passed two of them previously.
Why?
He only touched a woman on the elbow
Oh, the old elbow defense. Mm-hmm. I was touching her elbow. It was next to her boob. And he also said, you should be able to say whatever you want in group therapy.
Including threats?
I don't think the attorney should be deciding what should be done and not done when it comes to treatment.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the best plan.
And more celebrity legal news. Kanye West copped a plea yesterday for his scuffle in July with that photographer at LAX. Remember when he roughed up that photographer?
Yeah, he roughed him up, and then the photographer ran away, and then Kanye left, and the photographer came back and laid down.
It was, he was in shock, Kevin. It was adrenaline. Adrenaline was able to move his body, and then he came back and needed to lie down.
I'm not saying Kanye shouldn't have been found guilty, but that was a little weird.
Kanye entered a plea of no contest to misdemeanor battery charges against Daniel Ramos, the photographer. He was handed down 2 years probation, 24 anger management therapy sessions, and 250 hours of community service. Kanye must also stay 100 yards away from Ramos. This may come as a shock to you, but his lawyer, Gloria Allred, says Ramos plans to pursue a civil case against the rapper and try to get some damages. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked to see that he would try to get money out of this situation.
I'm shocked that Gloria Allred would be in a situation where she might be on TV.
I know. Imagine her in a high-profile case. Madness. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lisa's boyfriend, Mike Rowe.
Oh, TV host the Mike Rowe.
Yes, Lisa.
He's weathered in just the perfect way.
Yeah, I'm weathered. Yeah. Yeah, it's time to repaint my siding, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, baby, Mike Rowe,
get out some of that coconut oil.
He's 52.
Which you clearly have too much of.
Vanessa Williams is 51. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 48. Dane Cook, 42 years old. Darren Taylor of Airborne Toxic Event is 34. Leaky Lee, 28 years old. Lily Collins, oh, man. How did that come from Phil Collins?
Yeah.
Pudgy, doughy, little, short, bald man. His wife must be smoking hot.
Yeah. Of course she is.
Thank God she took after her.
Lily Collins is 25 years old. Rapper, actress, talk show host Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah is
from Barbershop 2. All hail Queen Latifah.
She's 44 years old today. Let's all hail her, shall we?
I don't know how to do that.
Hail!
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 And Adam Levine, of course, of Maroon 5. Boy, does Kevin love Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
He's always begging us to give them love. I think Adam Levine gets enough love, don't you?
I do, yeah.
He's 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
On the way, we still have Wendy McClendon Covey. I need to write that better. My writing is actually unreadable. Larry King talking about the Dodgers. He's got a new talk show. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. First, though, we have Charles Feldman, who is joining us today. He is an investigative reporter from KNX 1070. Charles, welcome.
Good morning, Kevin, and good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us today. Update on the Malaysian airline. I am not a person who checks this story every hour. I know that there are people out there who do, but it seems like it's been going on. How long has it been now since it disappeared?
Well, it's over a week, and as I think everybody knows by now, it's probably going to go down in the books as one of the most unusual incidents involving an airliner in the history of aviation, and that's saying a lot.
Well, if we did check every hour, what we'd see every hour is a different story.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. And I actually, for better or worse, I'm one of those people who check every hour, at least every 2 hours. And you're quite right, Lisa. It changes often. And a lot of that has to do with the Malaysian government, which has been giving out conflicting reports from day one. U.S. authorities, which are only in an assist mode, remember, they're not leading the investigation. They're there at the behest of the host country. They often have to kind of sit with tight lips and leave it for the Malaysians to give the announcements. And that's not the way we're used to doing things when there's an airline incident in this country. So what we're witnessing is the way other people do it. And I guess the way other people do it isn't exactly up to the standards we're used to.
Yeah, it's been weird because the story will come out and then, you know, a little while later, they'll go, nope, that's not it. And I'm guessing that people are just trying to logically work through the steps of what could have happened to that plane. Could it have avoided radar? Could it have landed someplace? Is it a terrorist? Was it the pilot? And every time something comes out, it seems to be just proven not to be the case, but nobody has any answers. And I don't think they will until they find the plane. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. And remember that the most important thing that we don't know is, did the plane crash? Or is the plane sitting on the ground somewhere, filled with passengers, or if it was on the ground somewhere, were the passengers taken somewhere? And that's really unprecedented if you think back on the history in this country of hijackings back in the 60s and 70s, and then some unfortunate airplane accidents that occurred since then. Usually it's pretty clear right off the bat whether a plane was hijacked or whether it crashed. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what actually happened to this aircraft. It literally disappeared off the face of the earth, and that is very unusual.
Seems like with cell phones, you know, that exist today, and everybody is pretty much tweeting or sending texts or whatever, it seems like it would be almost impossible that they could have landed and they're just hanging out, or they're holding people hostage. That seems like that's a stretch.
Yeah, I have to admit that I find the theory that it was taken somewhere and it's sitting on the ground in some undisclosed location with the passengers all, herded into some area, a bit of a stretch myself. In this day and age, one would think that sort of information would have leaked out by now. And keep in mind that this aircraft was going through many areas of the world. They had some sophisticated military air defense systems, radar systems, and not all of these countries are hostile to the West. So you would think that someone by now would have said, hey, yeah, we saw that plane go by, and
right.
We think it landed, you know, in this country or that country. So that's why I find that a very difficult theory to believe in. But, you know, look, a lot of the families of the people who are on board that aircraft, that's their last bit of hope, and they're going to hold on to it until the very end, I suppose.
As would we all, I imagine.
Hey, yeah. Charles, can you speak to I just saw an article about the cell phones and why no one would have used a cell phone to call, and it's understandable over the ocean that they don't work, and above a certain altitude, you can't make a call. But they also talked about cell phones pinging. And that if it wasn't in airplane mode, a phone would be constantly pinging, looking for a signal.
Well, that's true, but you know, there again, you know, the aircraft itself puts up a lot of interference to cell phones,
yeah,
because of the avionics on board the plane, and simply because the aircraft is this giant piece of metal or composite material flying at great speeds and at high altitude. So in order for the satellites to pick up the ping of the cell phones, you have to have a lot of luck, really. You have to be in the right position vis-a-vis the satellite. The phones have to be emitting enough power. People have to have the cell phones on. And remember, when this incident first occurred, the aircraft was apparently at cruising altitude, so that's about 35,000 feet. And let's say it was hijacked, for example, as a theory. You know, it's possible the hijackers made sure at that point that every passenger had his or her phone turned off, in which case you wouldn't have any pings.
Right.
What about the latest that I heard? I think it was yesterday that the plane made a hard left turn where it went off course, and that it really was pre-programmed into the computer, and only a pilot could have done that. What about that report?
Yes. Well, you know, there again, this is the information that's coming out right in drips and drafts. Initially, it was thought that a human being using a steering wheel, you know, turned the aircraft. But apparently, they were able to tell because there's another system on the plane that, until it was shut off or shut down, sends out running commentary, in a way, of what's happening technically on board that airplane. And it sends it to a satellite, and it's downloaded. And apparently, they now can tell that the aircraft was turned by six or seven different keystrokes that were entered into a command system, a computer, that turns the aircraft. Now, to do that requires someone with a lot of skill and somebody who understands not only how to fly a plane, but also understands how to program the computers on the plane. So that kind of rules out, you know, a sort of berserk passenger who managed to get into the cockpit and took over the aircraft. That kind of person could not have done that.
Is it possible, let me rephrase that, what are the chances, because I would put them pretty high, that we'll never know that plane might be on the bottom of the ocean or wherever it happens to be, and we may never find out what happened?
Well, you know, look, there are, in the history of aviation, there are some incidents, look, Amelia Earhart, right? I mean, she disappeared a long, long time ago, and to this day, no one has found the wreckage of her aircraft, but of course,
that was a very small airplane. It wasn't an airplane as sophisticated as the Boeing 777. So I don't know if I agree that we'll never find out, but I think that we're not going to find out, or at least I don't believe we're going to find out in the next 24 to 48 hours.
So that, I think that's part of the craziness and why everybody keeps guessing is because we live in such a news cycle where if something happens, you know, yesterday's earthquake, for example, that happened. You knew it was a 4.7, they said at first, and it was right. Westwood, and we had information within 45 seconds. So for well, something right. like this, a plane that big with 239 people on board, to just go away and not have real any hard information a week later is a bizarre thing in this world.
Well, that's right. You know, look, we live in this sort of illusion that we control information, right? Because we tweet and we post things on you know, we eat a hamburger and we post a picture of it up on Facebook.
There's a lot of that.
That's news.
That's news. You know, so you're quite right. I mean, you know, we all find it difficult to imagine that a giant airplane with almost 300 lives on board can take off and disappear. And more than a week later, nobody knows what happened to it. It for us, in this day and age, we find that incomprehensible, but it only goes to prove that we don't control as much as we think we control, do we?
So we're going a lot on the information that's coming from the Malaysian government. Can they be trusted?
Well, you know, the Malaysian government is an autocratic government. It's a government that is filled with cronyism. Lots of people hire their relatives to fill key positions. They're not used to dealing as openly as, say, this country is or other Western countries are when there are incidents such as this. Some of the early confusion, in fact, one suspects is probably because not so much the Malaysians didn't know, but they have different turfs that they're protecting and different agencies and bureaucrats, and they're all kind of protecting their rear ends, and so nobody really knows, you know, what information you can give out safely
right.
so as not to jeopardize their jobs. So that's sort of part of what's going on. But to give the Malaysians a certain amount of credit here, I think a lot of it also is they're probably just as baffled as we all
yeah.
are. This is a huge public relations blemish for them. You know, they take great pride in their airline. Malaysia Airlines recently won a contest, in fact, among Asian airlines as being one of the best. And now what happens? They lose one of their pride and joys, a giant 777 aircraft.
Well, it's a bizarre story. It started out bizarre, and it's still bizarre over a week later. Thank you for your time, Charles. We appreciate it. Charles Feldman from KNX 1070. We appreciate your time.
Good morning, Daryl Oil.
Thank you. We are going to talk to Wendy McClendon Covey next hour. She's running a little bit late, and I just want to know if you think that's because I'm unable to say her name.
I'm sure she
maybe
heard
give
you.
It a couple of more listens and see if I can get her name right.
Yes. And then just driving around the block
right.
waiting to see if you can pull this
and
off.
And then if I can get her name right, then she'll come in next hour.
Yes. I think you've done spectacularly well, quite frankly. Really better than, no, I'm not kidding, better than any of us could have expected. You only mangled it once, as far as I could tell.
How
see,
dare
Wendy
you.
Doesn't really know what we're dealing with here. So she thinks that was bad. She
oh,
doesn't
that's
understand
true.
How good that
that's
was.
That's true. She doesn't realize how it's like a Special Olympics race where just crossing the finish line is an achievement.
Does he?
Right. El Dazim will be on.
Let's talk about meeting your heroes. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it goes poorly. I didn't know at the time, I don't think, when George Carlin came in, A, what a big fan Ralph was, and B, what happened in that meeting between you and he.
You didn't know what happened? Is that
yeah.
what you're asking? Well, it just we had him on just once, as long as I've been working here, and it was a big deal for him to come into the studio and for me to meet him. And so I brought in my copy of Brain Droppings, his book, and I was really looking forward to it. And I was just sort of crestfallen because he wasn't – how do I say this? He wasn't a dick. He wasn't like overtly a dick. He was sort of a passive dick.
He was sort of not interested.
In the sense that he came in here and he sat down and during commercials would just flip open a newspaper and hold it up to his face and not engage in conversation with any of us. And I gave him my book to read, and I complimented him on what a big fan I was and how long I had, how much I enjoyed the book. And he flipped it open and he signed it and handed it back to me without asking me my name or engaging me in a conversation about
it. Did he look up at all?
Not really. Huh. And I always preface this by saying maybe the guy had a bad day. Maybe he had a fight with his wife that morning. There's any number of reasons why people can be disappointing when you meet them in person.
Including this time of day is really difficult for some people.
Especially comedians. They're usually working
at
night.
True.
You know?
That's true.
I found myself just crestfallen. I was just miserable after the fact that here's a guy who really, his work formed and shaped my sense of humor and who I was and what I find funny since I was a child. I mean, the guy's been doing it since the 50s, so well before I was born. And I had all his albums and saw all his specials on HBO and just one of those guys who was really my hero. And then to have that be the one experience I had with him, I was just miserable about it. And still, I carry that memory with me forever.
We are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 for You Met Your Hero. They...
long story, this intro?
I believe so, yeah.
And you and the person of your dreams.
So mine was Magic Johnson.
No, we're not close yet.
Did you drive them away when you met them?
Right, yeah.
Just for one day.
Just met them that one time.
So I met Magic Johnson, and he had
met your hero.
Respect your hero,
right?
And it made your day.
My story's a little different than Ralph's in that it wasn't Magic that was at fault. I was a dumbass. And that's, I think that's even, I don't know if it's, I don't know which is worse. Do you think George Carlin being disinterested is worse? Or
yeah,
me,
I think it's worse when you're a hero. Because that's the one you've got up on the pedestal. So when they have feet of clay, when they are not everything you expect them to be, that's when you're disappointed. I mean, how can you be disappointed in the fact that you were a douche? Well, you know you're a douche going into the situation, so there's no surprise there. There's no unexpected outcome.
But
George Carlin, that was an unexpected reaction.
Oh.
What you did was right down your pipeline, right in
I was in my I was
wheelhouse.
In the pocket. Yeah,
yes.
It was my wheelhouse, yes. Yeah. I walked up to Magic Johnson at a party, and I was like, oh, my God, I've watched this every game this guy has played of basketball, a longtime Laker fan. And what came out of my mouth was, you're great. That's
really?
I,
you're lucky that came out. It could have been, just let it go. Other than that, you're great. We're two words that made sense, Kevin.
Right, but you know, then I had that opportunity. He was looking in my eyes. He was paying attention to me. And when he realized I wasn't home, he just turned and walked away.
Yeah.
Well, as he said.
Which is sort of a bummer.
At least he gave you that.
But we'll but we will take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I know Omar has a story as well about meeting Tim Allen.
That's right.
Oh, I love Tim Allen.
Who we need to talk to him about. But let's start with Aldo. Hi there.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Who's your hero that you met?
My hero is Albert Pujols.
Oh, and, wow, one of the greats.
I went to a spring training earlier in the spring, and when we went to go meet him, we were asking for his autograph, and especially me and the couple little kids standing next to me, and when I told him to sign for the kids and myself, he straight up looked at me for a few seconds and just walked away.
Wow.
Really?
Rejected.
Did he give you the decency of a no thanks, I can't do that right now, nothing?
No, exactly. And that's another thing. Other players would do that. Oh, guys, I'm not signing today. You know, had a bad day in practice.
Right.
Oh, sorry, guys. You know, and even bigger players, Josh Hamilton signed for every single person walking around. And it was just, that was kind of suck because I really like Albert Pujols. And for him to do that to me, and not only to me, but to the little kids, too.
But you're using the little kids, but you mean you. You're upset yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. Screw the kids.
All right, thank you for the call.
That hurts, man.
1-800-520-1067. You met your heroes.
You've met your heroes.
Call now. We'll talk to you next. In a half hour from now, we're going to talk to Larry King. Yes, that Larry King about...
Oh, you're on the air.
About a show that he's doing about the Dodgers called Larry King at Bat on
this
Sportsnet.
This interview has everything for Kevin.
It does. This is
everything in one neat little package. He might retire after this one. It doesn't get any better.
We
must have said yes to this when Bean was still around, right?
Oh, I'm sure,
Bean was still alive?
Yeah, when he was alive.
Yeah,
he would have really loved this because he loves baseball.
Let's do it as a tribute to him then.
We are talking about You Met Your Heroes.
You've met your heroes.
And maybe it didn't go exactly like you had planned, like you thought it would.
Hero fails.
Let's start with Carmen. Hi there, Carmen.
Hi.
Who did you meet?
Hello?
Yes,
hi.
Hi there.
Who did you meet?
I'm at Lincoln Park.
Oh, I'm surprised. Those guys are pretty nice.
That's all I hear is how great they are.
They are.
Not this night.
Not this night?
What happened?
met them for a meet and greet that I won through you guys.
Right.
Years ago, Summit Sanitarium Tour.
She's still
like
mad.
She's holding us responsible.
She's still angry at us.
It probably was our fault somehow. But go ahead.
No, they were at the table. It was Chester Bennington and Mike Shinoda.
Right.
Talking to each other.
Yeah.
They looked up at us. Hi. Signed the papers, passed it over, and kept talking to each other. Never once. Like, nothing else.
Really?
Oh, so they didn't give you enough of what you wanted.
Nothing.
You got a signed autograph, but that wasn't enough for you.
It was a meet and greet. Like, I was so excited.
They met you, and they greet you. They met you, they said hi. That's a greeting. Hi.
Yeah.
That's a greeting.
This
they
is
met
weird.
You, and they greet you.
This is weird, and I'm not calling you a liar or anything, Carmen, but I know both of those guys, and they are the nicest people in the world.
I love them with all my heart and soul, but the worst part is my boyfriend for years after that was like, haha, your band sucks.
Wow. So you have to carry the brand, the scar
years,
with you.
For years, he ever said was your band sucks.
I would suggest you give them one more try.
Yes.
No, I love them tremendously.
Good. All right.
Get on the tour bus next time, see how they treat you. I bet you it'll go better.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Christina. Hi, Christina.
Good morning.
But,
Christina, are you in the middle of a riot?
I am in the middle of, I'm a teacher, and my students are just walking in.
Oh, no.
So it is a riot.
Make it quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So I met Cindy Crawford at Disneyland, the happiest place on earth.
Uh-huh.
And she was so rude. I told her how awesome she was from her Diet Pepsi commercial way back in the day. And I asked her for a picture, and she said, I guess if you make it quick. And the picture was so awkward, and she made me not happy at all.
That's a bummer.
Here's the thing, though. I'm guessing if she's at Disneyland, she's probably with her kids and all, and doing like a family thing. So that might have been a little bit of an imposition.
She was actually with one of her girlfriends, and her kids were with the girlfriend at the time. But I get it.
It's disappointing. I'll give you that. But I'm just thinking maybe it wasn't the best circumstances either.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it was poor form on my part.
Plus, she's way hot.
She's super hot. She can do whatever she wants, I think.
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous in person.
Thank you, Christina, for calling. We appreciate it.
Sorry for your loss.
There was no loss.
There was a loss there. She lost her hero right there.
Let's go to Jason. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, what happened? Who did you meet?
I met Jack White at the Wiltern, and I asked him for his autograph, and he had me escorted out of the building.
Well, that's a bit of an overreaction.
Escorted out of the building? Wait, were you someplace you weren't supposed to be?
No, I have a friend who works for Golden Boy, so I had a backstage pass. Like, I was totally allowed to be there.
And all you said was, hey, Jack, would you mind signing an autograph?
Exactly. I'm a big vinyl collector, and he puts on a lot of really cool records.
He does, right.
So I have the rare version of Blunderbuss, his solo record. I was like, hey, Jack, I'm a big fan. Would you mind signing this for me? And he was like, oh, yeah, totally. Give me 1 second. And then he walked away, came back with 2 security guards, and they were like, make sure this guy does not come back in the building.
Oh,
wow.
My God. Seriously?
Wow, you win.
That almost. Wait a minute. Hold on. That almost makes it funny when he said, of course, wait a minute, and then walked away and came back with security.
Yeah, he totally mocked me. And
that's sort of
funny. I was like, what's going on? And 2 security guards came back, and he was like, make sure this guy's not allowed back in the building.
Damn.
And all my friends make fun of me now. Yeah,
well, that's a serious smackdown. That's rough.
I know, right? He was not a nice guy.
That's worse than just, like, ignoring you or shining you on or being rude. He was actively.
Yeah. I wish you would have just said, like, no, dude, I'm tired, or something like that, you know, like.
Escort him out.
Pretend to do it, and then come back to 2 security guards.
He went out of his way to screw you over, Jason.
Went out of his way to be a jerk.
But that's why I like it. Well, I mean,
you're a jerk.
No, because he set him up. He set Jason up.
Why do that to somebody?
I don't know, but it makes it awesome.
Why do you like it, then?
Because he said, he acted excited, right?
Yeah, but it sounded like he was mocking me, so I was, like, confused, and then before I knew it, I was being escorted out.
I'm sorry, Jason. Unlike Kevin, I have a heart, and I feel bad for you.
I think he did the right thing. Larry King has a new TV show.
You're on the air.
Sportsnet LA. He's going to be talking about his beloved Dodgers, and it starts tonight. We're going to talk to Larry in a couple of minutes, and then we've got Wendy McClendon-Covey. on the program from the Goldbergs as well.
From Bridesmaids.
That's right.
First up, Tyler Perry's Single Mothers Single Club.
Single Mom.
Dallas Buyers Club.
I think that's it.
I think so. We do have some showbiz news to get to. Chris Brown will stay behind bars until his probation violation hearing on April 23rd. This pleases me to no end.
It does, but it worries me in that when he gets out,
he's going to be angry.
He's going to be worse.
Be terrorizing Los Angeles.
I don't know. Just
look, a lot of these people get the slap on the wrist and they get the treatment center option. And his facility was in Malibu, and he's getting help for his anger management and his substance abuse and his bipolar disorder and all of the reasons why he says he does what he does.
Right.
He had a chance to address them and to work on them and to get some help.
That's true.
Which I thought was more than fair. And the judge said, but should you behave in any way that gets you bounced out of this treatment center, you're going to jail immediately. No questions asked. You go right in. And then we're going to reassess. And that's what happened on Friday. He got bounced out of the treatment center. They picked him up. They put him in jail over the weekend. He was in court yesterday. And the judge said, well, you're just going to stay there until we have a hearing set for April the 23rd, and we will address your probation violation. And here's what happened to get him bounced. Apparently, he broke multiple rules. He refused a drug test.
And rehab.
Which is, you're in rehab. Yeah, I think they have a right to know whether you're doing drugs or not.
I think that's step one.
And maybe you're a chapped ass about it because this is the third drug test you've taken this week, or it's a random one or whatever. But just do it. Just those are the rules.
Yeah.
He reportedly touched a woman in the facility. No word on whether it was a patient or a staff member, but regardless. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah.
Especially you, Chris Brown.
Yeah, no kidding.
We all saw the pictures. And when he was in a group session, he reportedly said to another patient, I'm good at using guns and knives. And that was perceived as a threat.
Hmm.
So
right to jail.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. He has another court appearance scheduled in Washington, D.C. on April the 17th because he assaulted a guy who tried to photobomb a picture he was taking on the street. And that will be April the 17th while he's in prison.
Yeah, I was going to say that's before.
L.A., so they're going to have to see whether L.A. will allow him to travel to D.C. to appear or not. So he's got a lot of issues.
By the way, I think the international rule on that is that if you're in a position to photobomb anyone's photo, you do it.
Yes.
You don't have an option.
Yeah. No, you're right, Kevin. Those are the international rules.
It's the international
rules
of
photobombetry.
The U.N. passed it, I think, last year.
Now, that's one kind of behavior versus this kind of behavior. Chris Pine, you may remember last week, was arrested for driving under the influence in New Zealand. He showed up in court yesterday, showed up and said, yes, I am guilty. I did that, and I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird.
So, it being New Zealand, they did slap him with a $79 fine.
Oh, my
God. I don't know
God.
How he's going to try to scratch that together.
That's it?
His license will be suspended for 6 months in New Zealand, so he won't be able to drive around the Kiwi nation, but he looked relaxed, he was apologetic, and apparently signed autographs for fans on the way out of the courtroom. This guy just does it all right.
Yeah.
And he's dreamy.
He is dreamy.
He's handsome as heck. And he's Captain Kirk.
That's
and
true.
He's Jack Ryan.
That's
what
true.
More can one man have?
That's true.
So make him Batman while you're at it. Superman. Just make him everybody. Chris Pine.
He's good.
All good. And heads up, Kevin.
Yes.
This is how a boss treats the people he works with, okay?
Okay.
Katy Perry, concerned about her carbon footprint, has given her team of assistants each a Fisker Karma. That's an electric luxury automobile.
Oh,
that's what Justin
that's
got.
That's what Bieber was driving. Silver aluminum Fisker. It's a Fisker.
What is that, sir? It's a Fisker.
It's a Fisker. She dropped $500,000 on five Fiskers and just handed them out to her her assistants.
Wow.
So Lisa and Omar and Dave and myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We didn't include Beer Mug. He wasn't in the
meeting.
Right. But we're just saying.
Right.
You should be concerned about our carbon footprint as well.
I don't care about
I would drive a Fisker.
Carbon.
I would
you
drive
gave
a Fisker
to
too.
I
Lisa
think...
has an electric car, so she's out.
That's true.
It's
all right,
a hybrid.
Lisa, you're out.
Sorry.
It's really,
we're
they're
just
still
thinking
upright.
Maybe Fiskers all around.
Uh-huh.
That would be a nice gesture on
four.
Your part.
But I'll go four.
You'll go four Fiskers?
Yeah. All right. Not five.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Fisker, I hardly even know her.
We could do that all the time.
We
if
could.
You could get those cars.
What are you driving, Fisker? Fisker, I hardly even know her. Liquor in the front, Fisker in the rear, I always say. Just think of the jokes, Kevin. Think of the comedy.
Come on, you do it for comedy.
Okay, I will do it for comedy.
I'll give you a party bus.
Today's
right on my party,
party bus. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is TV host Mike Rowe. You know him from Dirty Jobs and from Lisa's Dirty Dreams.
Yeah.
He's 52 years old today. Singer-actress Vanessa Williams is 51. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, 48 years old. Dane Cook's 42. Darren Taylor of Airborne Toxic Event is 34 years old. Lily Collins, lovely and talented actress. She was Snow White, of course, and she was in that movie about the ghost people.
About the thing?
Whatever the heck that was? Skull and Bones or the Lovely Bones? No. No.
No. It was Bones, though.
It was like a, it was like a Twilight with like ghosts or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just came out. It was Ghost Bones.
Ghost Bones.
I'm pretty sure.
I believe that's on TLC or A&E. It's a reality show. Right. They look for ghost bones. Anyway, she's attractive and talented. She's 25. Queen Latifah's 44. And Adam Levine of Maroon 5 turns 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Larry King, one of the giants of broadcasting.
San Angelo, Texas. Hello.
Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Abbotsford, British Columbia. Hello.
Philadelphia. Hello.
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
How do I know?
Jacksonville, Illinois. Hello.
Huntsville, Alabama. Hello.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Hello.
What are you going to do for 69?
I'm lost. What do you mean?
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
What?
Boston. Hello.
Dallas, Texas. Hello.
Yeah. Larry.
Brazil, Indiana. Hello.
Vail, Colorado. Hello.
And when Usher walked down and touched that casket, what can you say?
Yeah.
Well said.
We're back and we go to St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hello.
Staten Island, New York. Hello.
Los Angeles. Hello.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
The only secret in this business is there's no secret.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
Poker face. Poker face. Mumma. Talk dirty to me.
That is the great Larry King. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Kevin, where'd you get all that?
Oh, we put it together over the years, you know.
My God, it was magnificent. Very well done. And where is Bean?
Bean is on vacation this week, and we think that he may be dead by the end of the week as he is in the hospital.
What's the matter?
Nah, not really dead. He's just having some tests.
How are you? What?
I don't know. He's dizzy.
I'm a curious person. He's, so who's that, Lisa?
He falls over a lot.
Lisa's here. He's dizzy.
Hey, Larry.
He's dizzy, and he falls over a lot. Yes, yeah. Lisa's here. I'm here. And beer
the lovely Lisa.
Yes.
Larry? You know, Lisa, hi. The right move, you can have this show.
No question.
Trust me, it's being plotted even as we speak.
She's the only person on this show that people don't hate. So it's important
that's
not
to have. That hard.
Now, Larry, you're back on the TV tonight with another new project. Tell us about...
All right, let me tell you. First, a little history. I thought I could retire. So when I left CNN, I thought that was it. And then Carlos Slim, the famed financial whiz of Mexico City, invited me down to do a project for him. I went down. It was a charity, and I emceed it. And we became friends. He came to the house for dinner. He asked me, what can we do? My wife came up with the idea for a network on the Internet. We turned it into Aura TV. That's now distributed by Hulu, and we had 3 million viewers last month. And I'm enjoying doing it. It's a half hour every day. I'm doing Russell Simmons today. I'm enjoying it.
What you're not very good at retiring.
No, I'm not. And then along came radio. They want me to do drop-ins, so it's on AARP. I do drop-ins every day on Cumulus Radio, just 1 minute little features.
Okay.
I tape them once a week.
All right.
And then the Dodgers, of course, got this new network, LA Sportsnet. And I go to all the Dodger games. I know all the people involved. And they said to me, you know, we got this sports game. You need product. And like the Yankees Yes Network and the Mets SNY New York, we're doing this. We need product. Why don't you do a show once a month, an interview for an hour, and we'll rotate it a lot. So it's going to premiere tonight at 7, and then we'll play it a lot during the month. So I taped Oral Hershiser, the great Dodger pitcher.
Oh, you talked to him for an hour? Tonight. That's tonight?
Yeah. LA Sportsnet tonight at 7. Now, the problem is that Time Warner is the cable place for most of the people in L.A. However, a lot of people, like myself, have DirecTV.
Right.
So I can't see LA Sportsnet, but they haven't made an agreement yet. So we're asking listeners, if you want to see the Dodgers and you have DirecTV or any other outlet that doesn't carry LA Sportsnet, you just go to imeedmydodgers.com and they'll tell you how to avalanche these people and get them to carry it.
Now, Larry, how long?
Small letters. I need my Dodgers.com and help press DirecTV and others to try to get this on, hopefully by opening day.
How long have you been a Dodger fan?
When I was like 13, 14 years, I became a Dodger fan when I was like 12. When I was 14, I was at Jackie Robinson's first game at Ebbets Field in 1947. I later interviewed him twice. So I was a Dodger fan all my years in Brooklyn. Then in 1957, I went down to Miami, broke into radio. At the end of that year, the Dodgers moved to L.A., so we sort of lost contact. While in Miami, I became an Oriole fan because they trained there.
Right.
Then I moved to Washington to do the national radio show and subsequently CNN. And the Orioles were the closest team to where I lived in Washington. So I rooted for the Orioles, but always rooted for the Dodgers in the National League. And then moved west, started with the O.J. Simpson trial, and stayed there, met a young lady, married her, two young boys, started going to Dodger games, became a Dodger fan all over again. So I am a lifelong Dodger fan.
I imagine that a guy like you, if you want to meet somebody on any Dodgers team, you'd be able to do it.
Well, yeah. If you've been on that long, been on for 57 years, broadcasting right. 7 decades, I guess, yeah, they know my name.
I'd say you've earned it. So you spend an hour with Oral Hershiser. What was that like?
Oh, it was terrific. You know, he's a very great interview. We really got into each other. And there's a moment there where he cries. And a lot of people have told me they've never seen Oral cry.
What was he crying about, Larry?
The last day of his career. He had pitched great for the Dodgers. Then he went to the Indians. He had 3 great years with the Indians. And then it was getting toward the end. He went to the Mets. He wound up with the Giants. Finally signed with the Dodgers again to close out his career. And he got hit real hard in the game.
Mm.
And he knocked him out. And he went into the clubhouse. And Tommy Lasorda called him in. And as he started to tell this story, he starts to cry. And he said, Tommy started to cry. And I started to cry. And he said, Bulldog, go home. You know, it's over.
Did you say rightly there's no crying in baseball?
No, I said, gee, I'm Barbara Walters.
Wasn't expecting this. Next week's show, I see here you're talking to Dodger great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He's not a Dodger great, Kevin. He's a Laker great.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's a big Dodger fan. 7'3 was a little tall for baseball.
A bit, yeah.
But, yeah.
Imagine that strike zone if he was playing baseball.
I think that'll start airing in April, and then we're going to do Conan for May, and then we're lining up other people. I would imagine, I hope it does so well, they want to run it twice a month. I mean, run 2 interviews a month. They're very aggressive, and a lot of great people there at Time Warner. And then we're having a contest for my Larry King Cardiac Foundation for opening day. Get this, Kevin and Lisa.
Yeah.
We're going to take 2 people from L.A. or anywhere in the country to join me for opening day at Dodger Stadium in the dugout section. They'll sit next to me. They'll have breakfast at the Brooklyn Water Bagel store on Beverly Drive. And all you got to do is donate as little as $10 to the Larry King Cardiac Foundation. You could win other prizes. We're going to have personal voicemails and autograph suspenders. And if you want information on that, you go to www.prizeo.com/Larry. www.prizeo.com/Larry. Donate $10 to Larry King Cardiac Foundation. And who knows, on April 4th, when we're playing the Giants, you could be sitting with me at the Dodger game.
But, Larry, you'll have another pair of seats just in case these people are insufferable, right?
Well, like in case Bean comes.
Right,
right.
In
of
that
course.
Case.
Yeah.
Then you'll,
an example of that, yeah.
Then you'll move to Plan B.
Yeah, there has to be, whenever you do an event like this, you have to have a Plan B.
Right, exactly.
You're meeting strangers who win a contest, and it's the pill of the Hun. You got to get out right away.
Larry King, Sportsnet LA, tonight, 7 o'clock, interviews the great Oral Hershiser and causes him to cry. So you can look forward to that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye, guys.
Always appreciate having you on the show. Welcome to the studios, Wendy McClendon Covey.
Hello. Good morning.
That
good morning,
might
Wendy.
Be the best I've said your name. I've screwed it up several times.
You know what? I'll answer to it.
Okay.
It sounds good.
Well, he's got money riding on it now, so
I do.
Can't
I had
screw
a,
up.
I had a bet with Dave. If I screw it up again, I got to pay him money, so
yeah.
I'd rather
it's,
not.
You know,
let's no, just go with Wendy. Good.
Wendy.
All right.
Yeah, done.
Wendy, one of the stars of the Goldbergs.
Yes.
Which, of course, is tonight, Tuesdays at 9 o'clock mm-hmm. on ABC. Mm-hmm. And you already finished the season.
We did.
How
yeah.
many have aired so far?
I think we're on number 18 tonight. Okay. We have new episodes airing through April.
Oh, awesome.
So, okay, that's
yeah.
strong.
Yeah.
So 18 is tonight, so you have
yeah,
22 total?
We have 22, 23 total.
Wow.
Yeah.
Most of the time these days they give you like 8 episodes and
yeah.
then they go.
And then they
come back in 4 years and we'll do
exactly,
season 2.
Exactly, exactly. But so, not to brag
okay.
and not to overstate it. But
you
it's
can
the
do either.
Funniest show that's ever been on the air or ever will be on the air.
That doesn't
just,
sound like
just
a brag.
Just letting you know. No,
okay.
I'm truthing.
A statement of fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You're
exactly.
You're truthing.
My unbiased opinion on my show.
Jeff Garland.
Is my lover.
He's a funny bastard.
Yes.
He's
yes,
wait, he's
is.
My lover too.
Damn it.
I knew it. I knew he was stepping out.
Yeah, you could tell.
Tell me about working with him. He seems like a super fun guy.
Yeah, he really is. The thing with Jeff is that he can't not be funny.
Right.
So he's got a running patter all day long. He will
when
give,
the cameras are rolling, when
exactly,
they're not.
When they're rolling or right when they'll say sound speed and action. That's when he'll pop off with some non sequitur that gets me to cry my makeup off.
That has nothing to do with
that has nothing to do with what we're filming. And every day he has a new name for everyone on the set.
So oh, is like, that right?
Oh, hi, Bikini Johnson.
Is that one of your nicknames?
That's one of mine.
Okay.
Or hi, I'm a little geisha girl. Like just silly little things all day long. Jeff, how are you today? I'm young and handsome. How are you?
Yeah.
He just can't stop.
He does seem like he's just diarrhea of the mouth, but,
yes.
but always
but
funny.
Always in a good way.
Does
always
he improv when you guys are filming?
Sometimes, yeah. We don't need it.
Yeah.
You know?
It does seem like
writing.
A pretty well-written show.
It is a pretty well-written show. Because it's the best show that's ever been on television.
Right, I forgot that part.
Or ever
yeah.
will be.
I just need to keep reminding you of that.
Okay.
But, yeah, so we don't improv a lot. But if a take has gone south for some other reason, yes, he'll start improvising.
He'll improvise to see what happens.
Just for our own entertainment.
Right. Right.
You know.
He seems like he couldn't help himself.
Yeah. I saw an episode, I think it was a couple of episodes ago mm-hmm. where they were recreating Goonies, the kids were.
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, Wendy and Jeff are barely in this episode.
Right.
That must be an awesome little break there during that. Was it?
That was okay.
Did you do one a week?
I didn't mind that.
Yeah,
one a week. One a week. So our days are like 12 to 16 hours.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
5 days a week.
Wow.
That's really
so
rough.
That was
to make a 30-minute TV show.
Yeah, because
21 minutes
this
or whatever
isn't in front of a live audience, so they film it like a movie.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time.
That seems like
but
you guys
I
aren't
love
very
it.
Efficient.
What?
It doesn't seem like you're very efficient.
I think we're incredibly
you're
efficient.
Incredibly efficient is what
yes.
I meant to say.
I think the results speak for themselves.
Because it's the best and funniest show on TV.
That's it. Thank you
That's the
for saying
part.
That. Thank you for saying that.
I really
unprompted.
I think that shows that aren't in front of a live audience. I'm just thinking of the shows I love. They're mm-hmm. all not in front of a live
right.
audience because
right.
it just constrains you in so many ways. And then
well, that laugh track
is
of being told where you're
oh,
supposed to be laughing.
Crazy. And they overdo it.
Is
it's
annoying.
So much louder.
Oh, yeah,
you go,
yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
you have to question them. Like, that's not that. That line
that
wasn't that
funny.
Funny.
They didn't laugh like that.
Right. Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, it is.
That's super annoying. Well, Wendy McClendon-Covey is here. The show is The Goldbergs. It's
yes.
the best and funniest show that's ever been on TV.
Oh, you're so sweet for saying that. Look at you.
It airs Tuesdays at 9
you.
On ABC, and we will take a break and come right back. Wendy McClendon-Covey is here.
Hi.
We were just grossing her out a second ago by showing her a picture.
That's what we do.
Anderson Silva's leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send that to you if you'd like.
That's good eating.
If you
yeah,
need that.
Please.
Wendy is
I'd
on.
Love to see, I'd love that to be my screensaver.
No worries. Wendy is on The Goldbergs, which airs Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on ABC.
You mean tonight? Yes.
What are the odds?
Is it
tonight?
Tuesday?
Yeah, it
That's
is
crazy.
Tuesday.
Tonight.
Yes.
You do good work.
How fantastic.
For actors and actresses, a lot of times what they enjoy is getting to dress up and, you know, the clothes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't exactly look probably like you would want. I don't imagine on this show.
You don't grab those clothes and say, like, can I take this home?
No, there's no chance that I would ever steal anything from the wardrobe department. There's no chance of that at all. But, you know, it's how the character dressed. In fact, Mrs. Goldberg, okay, these people are real. All right, we're playing a real family.
Adam Goldberg is the creator and the writer.
And his mom sent a bunch of her clothes for me to use on the show.
Really?
So I'm wearing real vintage Bev Goldberg clothes.
Does she ever call you with some tips on playing her?
Because that would be a little disconcerting. Actually, she's been very cool about it. And we've toned her down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
she's much crazier in real life?
Wow. Yeah.
How do you you tone her down. Your character is so domineering.
I know, but it gets worse.
How's that?
She had a reputation in the school district for making people cry. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, she's an intense woman.
Right.
And she's right. And she is there to win the mothering prize.
It's so funny that you would say that, because I was watching and I was thinking, if that's really based on his mom, she must be upset.
Yeah.
At the way you're playing it,
because you've toned
it down.
Yeah,
that's a little crazy. What about the dad? What about Jeff's part? Is he?
That is also dead on. He called his kids morons all the time.
Good.
Out of love, his pants were off the minute he walked in the door. Dropped him by the door.
Wow.
And I see, I don't think that's weird. My dad did the same thing. He dropped his pants in his room. He at least put them in the hamper. But my dad was pantsless constantly.
What?
In the recliner. But just living the dream.
But wait, how does that dream include poor little you walking through the house?
I know.
Though?
Me not being able to have friends over.
That's just a little bit scary.
Yeah.
What happens on tonight's episode?
Okay, tonight's episode is called For Your Own Good. So my character, who's a little domineering, she just starts getting rid of things for the family's own good.
Whether they want it or not?
Such as Murray's fart-filled recliner.
Right. Because to you, that needs an update.
It needs an update.
Okay.
So I get rid of it. It ends up in a frat house. Murray is despondent. And I have to go to the frat house and get the damn thing back.
But you replaced it with a new chair.
Replace it with a new chair that's very comfortable and stylish. He wants nothing to do with it. So trying to be a good wife, I go and get his chair. He takes away my stove, replaces it with a microwave. At some point, my bangs get burned off. Just a lot of loving, a lot of laughs.
At some point, your bangs get
burned
off.
You know how that happens.
I don't really.
I actually do.
You do?
The ladies, all the ladies.
Bangs, eyebrows, something.
Something gets singed off. Yeah.
Tell me about working with George.
George, American Treasure Siegel.
Yes. I didn't realize that was his nickname.
Well, that's what I call him.
Okay.
He is one of the sweetest people you're ever going to meet, and a legend, and has some good stories.
I'm sure.
So he'll talk about, I was working on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, and blah, blah, blah. And he just rolls off the information like it's nothing. And meanwhile, you know, I'm stuck on Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. Right.
You know, but he's worked with everybody.
He's
seen it all, done it all. And I can't believe when I look over on set, and there he is, and he's playing my dad.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
You're dominating him, too.
Yeah.
Like, you play in your character actually bosses him around.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about being in The Groundlings. You started in The Groundlings with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa and Annie Mumolo and Maya Rudolph, all those crazy ladies. Yeah, I was in The Groundlings for a while. Slaved away in the Sunday company for a year and a half, and then I was in the main company for about 7 years.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig at the time, as funny as she is now. Melissa McCarthy, as funny as she is now.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are they doing another sequel?
No.
They're not?
No.
Because?
Because why mess with a good thing?
Perfection. Why mess with there, that? Is,
wait, you know, look, hold they on. Said they ass said about movie. Anchorman.
Hold on,
we'll
in
never
Hollywood.
Do another one.
Right.
10 years later, another one came out. So in 10 years there will be one. But as of now, no one's working on it.
If Kristen runs out of work. Right?
Maybe. Uh-huh. Or someone comes up with a really, really good idea.
Right. Then it may happen.
That, you know, that would make it right. even better than the first one. Then yes. But if it's just going to be a gratuitous thing just to get more money.
Right.
Well, look, I'm in. Yeah. But I know
you'll
probably
do it.
Most of us would be in. But I'd work with those girls anytime on any project. Yeah. But yeah, so far nobody's working on it.
You are in Single Moms Club.
I am. I think you introduced it as Single Moms Dallas Buyers Club.
We may
a
have.
A couple of which
that may have
I
happened.
Like.
It's sort
I
of
like that concept.
Because it confuses people and makes them want to
yeah.
go.
Single moms buying drugs in Mexico.
Right.
And I would watch that.
That
movie.
Writes itself.
It writes itself.
You need to get to work on
I
that.
I know. My gosh. but yes, I am in that lovely film. Me, Nia Long, Coco Brown, William Levy, Terry Crews, who's funny and absolutely
oh,
everything.
We've had him in.
We've had
he's
Terry
amazing.
Crews in, and he's
great.
One. Yeah,
yeah,
he's one of those people who just when he leaves, you go, I don't want you to leave.
Yeah, he changes the weather.
He does.
He true. Changes the weather, and it's a fun little movie. You know, mm-hmm. the commercials. I'm not sure who they're marketed towards. Commercials make it seem like the most boring thing in the world, but yeah, it's a fun movie. I had a good
time. Is that a frustrating experience to see a commercial and go, that doesn't capture what,
yeah, like,
what we did?
What is that?
Right.
What is that? So you're telling people that this movie is boring and made for no one?
Right.
Yeah. It's,
that's not ideal.
Yeah. It's not ideal
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, that's like, not what you want.
You know, but yeah, what can you do?
Well, Wendy,
that's out of my hands.
It is. Maybe it needs to get into your hands.
Maybe.
I mean. Maybe you should think about
buying
that.
Drugs in Tijuana. Yeah. I mean, look, we talked about
it. It's already happening.
People are already buying tickets.
Wendy, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
The Goldbergs is the name of the show. Tuesdays, that is tonight at 9 p.m. on ABC.
Yes.
Thanks.
Well done. Thank you.
Come back at. I love using all this equipment for whistling. All right. Okay, good. All right. Ralph is here.
It's catchy. Can't help it.
Just after the top of the hour, Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. But first, the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you're going to be so happy.
All right.
Just announced by Sony Pictures, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I said it wasn't as bad as you thought.
You loved it.
I didn't love
you
it.
You loved it.
I didn't love
you
it.
You loved it.
I went. That was enough for you to hate me. And then I didn't hate it as much as everyone else did.
You said there were lots of laughs in it.
There were.
No.
It doesn't make a movie good, but there were lots of laughs in it.
No, on both counts.
Fat is funny. Always.
And he's on a Segway.
Yeah.
Which really, what gets funnier than that except for anything? Yeah, the sequel to the 2009 hit comedy. We'll see Paul attending a security guard expo in Las Vegas.
What could go wrong there?
Where he's mocked by casino security because they're really good at their jobs until he helps them take on a group of dangerous art thieves. I hate you already, and I hate this movie already. And
you
I hate everything
me?
That's going to come when this movie comes out.
You can't hate me for that.
I easily can. Because I can tell by the look in your eye, like, oh, that's got some premise.
How dare you.
Yeah, that's got some possibilities.
We'll see.
Right
I just I have an open mind. That's what you know about me.
Ugh. Hope it's loud. It's all cobalt. USA Network is giving Psych fans a finale to remember. Next Wednesday night is the series' big finale. I'm sorry, before the next Wednesday night, which is the series' big finale, the network is going to throw a Psych All-Night event beginning at midnight this Friday, March the 21st, calling it the Night of a Million Hundred Goodbyes. Stars of the show will be introducing their favorite episodes, and viewers will be able to make and upload a farewell video to the show, and many of those videos will actually be shown during the marathon. So a Psych marathon happening starting midnight this Friday, March the 21st, for those of you who love Psych and want to say goodbye to it.
And don't have anything to do Saturday.
Goodbye, Psych. We'll
miss you.
You gonna make one of your patented goodbye songs?
I never really got into Sight.
Ah, you're missing out.
I know.
Fun show, very fun.
I feel like I am.
Good times.
But I just didn't get into it.
I'm very happy to announce that my girl Catherine McPhee's working again. Oh, I still have the McPhever. There's no cure for the McPhever.
There isn't?
Nope.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
She, of course,
Ralph still does have a picture above his desk.
Hell to the yeah. She, of course, was the American Idol runner-up. Should have won. And then, of course, she starred in Smash. Lisa and I bonded
loved
over
it.
Our love of Smash.
Yep.
That disappeared.
Right.
In the ratings, sadly. Now she's gotten the lead in a new CBS pilot called Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Scorpion. A series about an international network of super geniuses.
I'm out.
Who form the last line of defense against complex threats of the modern age. She is a regular gal, a waitress at a diner, but who's able to talk nerd. And so she translates for these socially inept geniuses while being sort of a caretaker for them at the same time. Sounds fun.
It
does sound like a good premise.
Yes.
Good way to use her.
They're socially damaged, and she helps them interact with
she's their
regular
translator.
People because they're just too smart and backward to be able to communicate with the regular folks.
I like it.
I think it's a cute idea.
I need that kind of translator for here.
Yes, you do. Notice how we've talked about super geniuses. Kevin was already, I'm out.
Yep.
I do not like smart things or small people.
That was a joke. That sounds good.
Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart are going to work together. That should be a blockbuster comedy,
no
right?
No kidding.
Yeah, they're making a movie together called Get Hard.
I like it.
I
Is
bet
it a porn?
You do. No.
Oh.
Will plays a wealthy investment banker who gets wrongly convicted of a crime and is going to be sent to prison. So he decides he has to toughen up for his stint. So he gets some tutoring from Kevin Hart, who's the guy who washes his car. I'm laughing already just thinking about it.
Can't wait.
They just added Alison Brie to the cast. She will play Will Ferrell's fiancée.
She's awesome.
In the film. So it's a great lineup.
I see cornrows on him. For when he's in prison.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be awesome on Will Smith.
I'll tell you something. At some point, he's going to get into his underwear. Just his underwear.
Yeah.
Happens in every film. You can't avoid it.
That is true.
It's like Death and Taxes. You'll see Will's scar. That hideous scar he's got there. The bottom of his abdomen. I don't know what happened there, but...
I don't think I've ever seen that scar.
You can't miss it.
Oh, my God. I think it's appendix.
Is it burst appendix,
maybe? I think so, yeah.
He had something went wrong. Horribly wrong in his
it's
abdomen.
It's pretty awful.
And every time he... It's hilarious when he runs around his underwear, but I can't help but notice, like, what? CGI that up! I can't stop looking. I can't eat my popcorn.
Once you notice it, there's no way to
there's
stop.
There's no way to stop looking.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, TV host Mike Rowe is 52 years old. Lisa, you going to do something special for Mike for his birthday?
Oh, I already have.
You know,
don't worry about that,
you have
mister.
A crush.
It's already happened.
Row, row, row your boat. That's Lisa's motto. I don't even know what that means. Vanessa Williams is 51. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 48. Queen Latifah is 44. Dane Cook, the comedian, is 42. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 35 years old. Darren Taylor of Airborne Toxic Event is 34. Leaky Lee is 28. Lily Collins is 25. Speaking of comedians, as we were, Dane Cook celebrating his birthday today. Jim Jeffries is going to be performing at Club Nokia down there at LA Live near the Staples Center on March the 29th. Want to give you a heads up. Tickets are on sale at AXS.com. If you've never seen Jim live on stage, you got to do yourself a favor and check him out. He'll also, of course, be performing with us in our April Foolishness show.
Mm-hmm.
There are still some tickets available for that. Not many. So if you want to join us for April Foolishness, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Do yourself a favor and get on that right away. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla comes on with us all the time to do This Week in Rage. Adam Carolla, of course, has his the Adam Carolla Show. He has the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast. Both of those are available at adamcarolla.com. Also, he's got an upcoming Carolla podcast legal defense fund. I'm going to try that again, if you don't mind, because I don't feel like that came out right. Carolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show, which is a week from Thursday night. Bean and I will be there. Mark Maron will be there. Just added Doug Benson.
Oh, awesome.
And strangely, Andy Summers from The Police. Adam, how does that work out?
I have no idea, but, you know, who doesn't love The Police? And Andy Summers, great guitarist, he's playing, so what the hell?
There you go. What the hell? Adam joins us for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and making our way up to number one. First, I don't know if you guys experienced this, but I just did. I was looking out the window on Sunday morning. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. And I was with my daughter, and there was a squirrel in our front yard, and the squirrel was doing that move where they sit up on their butt, you know. And I realized we love any animal who sits up like us. I now realize this is why we love panda bears. Panda bears hate us. They're horrible. They're mean. They won't even have sex when we beg them to.
That's true.
What do? They sit on their ass with their feet up like we do when we're drunk on the floor.
Right.
And, you know, they eat. They eat burgers like David Hasselhoff does, and you're like, well, look at them. They sit like us. We love anything that sits. And so the squirrel sits there. My daughter goes, oh, it's a squirrel just sitting on the front lawn. It's beautiful. I said, let's go outside and say hi to the squirrel. Corey, you open the front door, thing takes off. And then I thought, what's up with squirrels? You know, why? What do we do to them? Why are they so scared of us? When's the last time you went chasing a squirrel and went, oh, I'm coming up that tree after you. Look out. Give me that acorn. That's mine, bitch. Like, what are you, other than Carl Malone,
right,
who poses any real threat to a squirrel, why are they so scared of us? They should be used to us, right? They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Corolla. There's super docile, harmless Corolla going to his car with his daughter. Hey, Mr. Corolla, how you doing? You want to pet me? Maybe I can eat some cereal or something that you have laying around. Like, why are they so freaked out? They live with us, and they see more humans than you see humans.
Right.
Why? Why they have to hustle for a tree? And then, by the way, it makes me feel guilty, weird. Like, what I do? You know what
like
I'm saying?
They know something about you they shouldn't know?
Yeah, it was one looking through the window while I was in the shower taking care of business. Like, what do they know about me? And what harm has ever come? And by the way, the only time you guys ever get run over is when you dart in front of our cars.
That's true.
We don't drive off the road and chase you guys across lawns, driving through picket fences, trying to run you over, drive up trees. You kill yourself.
You understand that you are, as of right now, talking to squirrels.
I'm done with them. You know what? I'm not anymore because I'm okay. Done with them.
All right.
Done with their cute ass. Go run. Go live in your tree. I hope you get electrocuted on that power pole, bitch.
No.
Done with you. All right. And then maybe I will try to hit you because I have been trying to avoid you when I drive.
Right.
Now I'm coming for you.
Now it's on.
It's on, bitch. next, I was thinking about this, the farmer's market, you know, people talk about the farmer's market, it's so glorious.
Yeah.
Oh, they block the street off on Sunday, you can see people walking around. By the way, have you ever had an apple fresh from the orchards? Like, first off, isn't the crap they have at Gelson's come from an orchard too, or where's that come from?
Well, I think it comes from an orchard about 6 months ago, but...
Right.
Ah, look, when's the last time you were devastated by a piece of asparagus you got from the Safeway or the Gelson's or the Whole Foods? It's the same crap. It's grown by the same guy. And then you go to they block off the street, you kill 6 hours, you end up with a bunch of overpriced produce, and to what end? And then at some point, you're going to engage in a conversation with a lesbian couple that makes cheese out of nuts. And
okay.
Then when she's handing you the cheese, she's going to go, you can't tell the difference between this and aged provolone. Swear to God. And you're going to take a bite into it, and you're going to think, this tastes like ass. But you're going to have to smile and nod, and then you're going to have to do this move. So how much can we put you down for? You know what? We're just going to walk to the end, but then on the way back.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see the suit. Is that your Green Forester there? Okay, so we know where you are.
Yeah.
All right. On the way back, we're going to stop by and buy a metric ton of this delectable nut-based cheese. Do not worry. Then you get to the end. Now it's panic time with the wife. Listen, we can open up the sewer grate. I think this will lead down to the car. We can crawl out. We'll go out like Shawshank Redemption style. We can't pass the lesbians and not buy a pound of cheese. We made a promise. Just go to the goddamn Gelson's, get your stuff, and then on Sunday, you know, take in a movie. Don't be walking around the streets. It's right up there with the bed and breakfast. The farmer's market sounds great. The bed and breakfast sounds great. The bed and breakfast is you sleeping in somebody's room who killed themselves 3 years ago because the family's too goddamn poor, and they're renting out a part of their house, and you run into Nana in the bathroom in the hallway in the middle of the night. It sucks, and the farmer's market's just a bunch of lesbians making nut cheese.
Okay.
All right, number one.
I'll have to take your word on that.
All right, you guys tell me. I have a new entry in my pantheon of sadness. You
okay.
Tell me, what is the saddest?
All right.
Number one, fat guy riding the bicycle built for two alone.
Right.
Very symbolic. Just saw that guy the other day.
Okay.
Very sad. Blind guy saw this guy with the collapsible cane where the bottom part was broken and just dangling, the feely part.
Right.
Busted and flaccid. Wheelchair guy who's using his feet to propel himself backwards through the intersection.
Right.
So he's in a wheelchair. He's pushing himself up. And this guy I saw yesterday, guy getting along as a form of transportation, one rollerblade. The other foot had the flip-flop on, and he was pushing himself with the other foot, but the other one was one rollerblade. You tell me, out of the four.
One rollerblade guy.
One rollerblade guy?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, fat guy on bicycle built for two, very symbolic.
Second place.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, there you have it.
That's how I would rank them. Adam, thank you. We appreciate it. Again, we're all going to be doing this fundraiser, the Corolla Podcast Legal Defense Fund Benefit Show. It's a week from Thursday night. You can go to fundanything.com/patent troll if you would like to donate. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 924.
Here we go. Listen up. I'll tell you what to do now. I love when Mugg's barking orders. Thing seems more ironic than Mugg telling people to do their job. Never make me happier.
Here's what we're going to do now, though.
What?
I will tell you this.
What are we going to do, Kevin?
We've played some bad music on this station.
Yes.
We like to
probably have some coming up.
We like to feature bad songs. And in a world where we feature bad songs, this one stands out.
See, I would beg to differ.
You think this is better than some of the, like, Will Smith's Kid? And
I think it's not as
Wing
egregiously bad. In I think it's less interesting
Fridays
than a lot of bad.
Or Friday?
Like, Friday was a spectacularly bad song that was fascinating. This is not even interesting enough to be that bad. It's just, it's mediocre bad, which I find more offensive than really bad. Really bad is at least fun. This is just almost, it's unintelligible, and it's droning, and it's flat, and it's just crap.
This is Backdoor Teen Mom, Farrah Abraham.
Yeah.
She has come out with a music video today. We tweeted it out, if you'd like to check that out, at Kevin and Bean. And this is part of that song.
Let me get that.
Now, if you can't understand the lyrics because the music's too loud, that's the way it's recorded, and I think
she's way in the back.
They're trying to hide
to
her
bury
voice,
her, yeah.
And it sounds like it's 105% auto-tuned. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's no real voice there.
She may not even be singing; it might just be a robot.
Get the air, the breeze, the wind I need. I'm blowing, I'm blowing, I've been blowing away.
So, name of the song is "Blowing."
She's blowing, all right. Blowing.
Might as well be in a foreign language.
What?
Can you understand a single word?
Celebrity, 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 something is making me famous.
You got all that?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow.
Little and learn to be better than normal. Making mistakes. You're blowing all their minds away.
She's blowing all their minds away. She may be making mistakes, but she's blowing all their minds away.
Okay. Bye.
Be like a star, be true to you.
What kind of weird spidey senses do you have? This is bizarre.
I speak whore.
I'm getting none of this.
Let me get the air, the breeze, the wind I need. I'm blowing, I'll be blowing away.
Give me that air, that breeze, that wind I need. I'll be blowing them away.
Oh, I didn't hear the away.
Yeah.
Oh, this is celebrity
leprosy, yeah.
Kind of
better than a non-celebrity talking about what a celebrity she is. Nothing endears you more to a person than when they're just barely on the radar and they talk about how much of a celebrity they are.
That's not worse than most of the stuff, bad songs we play.
Because it's just a dance
you
beat
can't
that goes
even
on
understand
and on and on. And it, well, that's what it is. How fun is that? It's barely hard to understand. Friday, you understood.
Yeah,
you got every sweet, horrible word of that song. You were able to roll around in that awfulness. This thing is just, it's like white noise. It just kind of just beats you up and makes you nauseous, but you don't really get it to enjoy
it. Sounds like somebody's sick at a party.
It reminds me like all of those, it's the Paris Hiltons.
Oh,
and they all
Paris
have,
is a genius compared to her.
Nah, they all release that same dance track that they try to get on the charts, and it's innocuous crap.
Who you are. You are. Let the hate stack up. Positivity push through. Being you, being you. Take.
What was that?
Let the hate. Let them hate. Let your positivity shine through. Just be you.
Do you need more?
No, it's just.
I do not.
I think it's boring, which is the most offensive thing about it.
Is that as boring?
Is that boring? That's an unforgivable sin to me. At least the Patrice Wilson stuff, it's like actively horrible. And you can say, all right, I can really get behind
this
hating
is horrible,
that.
But boring?
I can really get behind hating that stuff. This is just like, oh, man, it's tiring. It's just boring, and it just makes me sleepy.
Oh, wait, you guys said you didn't need
to. No,
we
don't need any more.
Really. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:38. Don't forget, go to KROQ.com. Check out a live performance today by Band of Skulls in the Red Bull Sound Space.
Oh, yeah.
Here at K-Rock. I'm sorry, it's not today. It's tomorrow.
No, it's today.
Okay. All right. Good work.
Oh, Kevin.
It says tomorrow.
Oh, Kevin.
The word is spelled out tomorrow.
Oh, Kevin.
It's today at 1. Check it out. Details at KROQ.com. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of things... I like that segue.
Good.
I do want to remind you, there are just a few tickets left for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Get on it! What a lineup. April the 5th, Saturday at the Shrine Auditorium. We got Jim Jefferies, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie If, Taylor Williamson. And music by Mike Realm, all going to worthy causes, the Fisher House and the Cedars-Sinai NICU. Go to Ticketmaster.com. And yeah, you can still get tickets there, but not many. So if you want to get on it, get on it.
What are you saying?
Get on it.
All right.
Speaking of tickets, it's my favorite time of the year, Paley Fest. Paley Fest. Paley Fest, Paley Fest, oh, Paley, Paley Fest, Paley Fest, Paley Fest, oh, Paley, Paley Fest, Paley Fest.
You may be too happy about this.
Paley, Paley Fest, Paley Fest. Ba-dum, boom, boom. I'm going to sell them that theme.
Don't make me play Farrah Abraham again.
It's going on all March long. Some of your favorite TV shows, past and present. They get the cast, the creative teams. They put them on stage. They talk about their favorite TV shows. And then there's a little Q&A. You get to participate as well. All happening at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. Tickets are available, if they are available, at paleycenter.org. Because this event sells out each and every year. But you can see the lineup and what tickets there are available at that website. However, if you are a fan of The Vampire Diaries and... its sister show, The Originals. They are doing a twofer.
Oh, nice.
One evening with both of those shows, the cast and creative teams behind those shows, March the 21st. It's all happening. If you'd like to go, I only have one pair of tickets to give away because these tickets are hard to come by. 1-800-520-1067. Call now.
That's this Friday, by the way.
This Friday, March the 21st, Friday. And since it's the 21st, let's say caller number 21 gets a pair of tickets for The Vampire Diaries and The Originals. Courtney Love knows where that missing Malaysian airliner is.
Awesome.
Well, why didn't she speak up earlier?
I guess she just didn't want to show off.
Huh.
Yeah.
Who knew she'd be the place where we found the plane?
She tweeted out a image that apparently she pulled off of a satellite imaging website called TomNod.
What is she doing with her time on TomNod?
She's on TomNod, looking at satellite photos of...
For
her lawyer's house that didn't get her enough money from something that she was complaining about. Seeing how she could send a drone over to bomb him or something. So she happened to be, as she does, perusing the ocean.
Sure.
And she came across something. So she tweeted the image saying, I'm no expert, But up close, this looks like a plane, and that looks like an oil slick.
Wait, she's no expert?
She's no expert. Despite all her years in the Air Force. Remember? Wow. Remember when she used to fly those transport planes?
I do.
So no one really responded to her, so she sent it out again. But this time, adorably, she scrawled on the photo in red ink, like a kindergartner, just an arrow that says oil, and then another arrow that says plane.
So people must have
show you what she was talking
people
about.
Must have responded to her, I don't see it. And so she wanted to just draw an arrow.
Stupid oil arrow plane.
It would be awesome if it turned out to be correct.
So far, the FAA has not contacted Courtney regarding her evidence, as compelling as it may be.
What's she doing?
To recruit her assistance for the search.
Oh, Courtney. What is she doing?
Miranda Kerr doesn't like her best friend giving away the milk for free. Radar Online is reporting that Miranda has been having heart-to-heart talks with her best friend, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, about her longtime boyfriend, Jason Statham, saying they've been dating for 4 years. Jason hasn't popped the question yet. It's time to move on. Dump him. Ultimatum time. Bye-bye, Jason Statham.
Why does Miranda Kerr get to make that call?
Well, girls do that. They get in each other's lives. And
well,
they
either one can.
They express their opinions about stuff.
Hmm.
Jason responded by murdering Miranda Kerr, which
I don't think that's true.
An overreaction. Put her in the back of a trunk and transported her to someplace else.
That's not true. That's a lie.
What do you think doing? Katy Perry, she's a nice boss. The Daily Mail's reporting that in order to reduce her carbon footprint, she dropped $500,000 on 5 Fisker Karmas and gave them to her team of assistants. Seems she can't stand the horrific smog problems here in Southern California, so she says she has a clean conscience now because all of her staff are driving electric luxury vehicles. It's not a bad gift.
Good to work for her.
Yeah, except if you quit, then do you have to give it back?
Oh, good question.
Probably
becomes property of KP Incorporated.
Right.
It's whore. And good news, it looks like Chris Brown will be out of our hair for a little bit longer. He is going to remain incarcerated until his probation violation hearing, which has been set for April the 23rd. That means he will not be out on the streets beating anyone up.
He'll be in jail beating some people up.
Or getting beat up.
Right.
Here's the deal. A judge allowed him to get help for his anger management, substance abuse, and bipolar disorder, which Chris and his legal team claimed was the source behind his initial incarceration. The judge said, yeah, you can go get treatment, but if you get booted, you're going right to jail. No questions asked.
So he
It'd
really
be a violation of your probation if you don't complete this treatment.
So he was really careful and followed the rules?
He was really careful. He was in the Malibu treatment center over the weekend and, according to court records, refused a drug test, improperly touched a female, and during a group session threatened another patient by claiming how good he was at using guns and knives. So the facility said, you need to leave now, Mr. Brown.
This guy's bad news.
The judge said yesterday, you're going to stay in jail until April 23rd when we take another look at this violation. And, of course, if he is proved to have violated, he could be sentenced to significantly more jail time as well. So, will he learn his lesson?
You have made bad choices.
They should get Dr. Phil in there to fix him up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Lily Collins is 25 years old today. Singer Leaky Lee is 28. Darren Taylor of Airborne Toxic Event turns 34 years old. Adam Levine of Maroon 5. Let's give some love to Maroon 5, shall we?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
You can barely hear me, but it is me, unfortunately.
Yeah. He is 35 years old.
Ralph came up to me after that particular Grammys and said, why do you do that? He said, you don't like Maroon 5?
It was the Grammys? I thought you just followed the band around yelling that out in concerts. I thought you would just buy a ticket and go, we have some love! comedian? Dane Cook is 42 years old. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 48. Vanessa Williams turns 51. TV host Mike Rowe is 52 years old.
Let's give him some love.
Yeah, I bet you'd like to give him some love. You got some dirty jobs for Mike Rowe.
I do. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know. But I'm pupping my tent right now. And rapper, actress, talk show host Queen Latifah is 44 years old today. Just to be fair, I think we should all hail Queen Latifah.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Oh, we got today covered.
I forgot to mention her role in Barbershop 2 that we all remember so lovingly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Brad Williams, comedian, will be here in studio. We're going to talk to Travis Barker, who will also be here. He's fascinating. He's talking about Muse Inc. I think we're going to ask him to stick around while we talk to the new UFC welterweight champ, Johnny Hendricks. Turns out Travis is a huge UFC fan.
Is Johnny coming in?
Johnny Hendricks will be on the phone.
Oh, pussy.
But what an amazing five-round fight that was. It was crazy good, and he dropped to his knees and was just thanking the Lord above.
Yeah.
It was
like a Rocky movie.
It was great. And Cousin Sal will be here talking about the March Madness and filling out your bracket so that you can win $1 billion. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.